This is Ozarks at Large. The events in the Middle East over the past few weeks have seen popular uprisings. Many in the press and media are crediting new social media technology as inspiring. Our history doctor, Bill Smith, is here today to discuss this. Welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Okay. Kind of a double dip here today. Your other job is as the assistant athletic director for new media at the University of Arkansas. So you can tell us conclusively whether or not the media is hyping the power of Twitter and Facebook.
I can give you a definitive maybe.
Of course you can. Yes, that's not exactly what I wanted.
No, but I've been watching and remaining curious about the real end-of-the-day impact of social media tools like Facebook and real-time reporting from places like Twitter on these events.
This has attracted some of the top thinkers of our time. Malcolm Gladwell has weighed in on this.
The famous author of Tipping Point and Outliers has become the man on the outside himself by going against conventional wisdom of the media. Gladwell has repeated that the internet-based social revolution is, to use an old cliche, a mile wide and an inch deep. Gladwell says that while news can travel fast, it requires a lot of commitment to be involved in a revolution. He first made this point in Iran toward the Green Uprising that culminated in the Nada incident, the shooting for all the new media world to see of that young female Iranian dissident. And then the harsh crackdown by the Revolutionary Guards. No amount of Twitter was going to save that effort.
So you side with Malcolm Gladwell and not the media pundits who say that Twitter and Facebook have changed everything?
Maybe.
You like that word this time.
Yes.
That's not a firm answer, you realize.
Well, I do. Let me put on my other hat for a minute. Facebook and Twitter are just communications tools. They are very easy to use. Extraordinarily low in cost. In fact, perhaps the lowest cost to potential audience communication medium in the history of mankind.
In the history of mankind? That's a bold statement.
Well, think about it. As a paradigm shift, nothing since Gutenberg has made it easy to get printed word and paper and distribute it to the masses. Can you think of a bigger leap for cost? Not radio and TV, even, really. In usage numbers, nothing has grown like these mediums. Consider that Facebook now stands at 500 million users worldwide, and that's more than the population of the United States, according to the 2010 census.
And it's available to almost anybody.
That's right.
Okay, Facebook, 500 million people. Twitter can give you the news instantly. Where's the history in all this?
Well, thanks for pulling us back to point there. Devin Coldway wrote this in one of the major technology blogs, and this is really what got me thinking. This is Coldway. Twitter and Facebook are indeed useful tools, but they're not tools of revolution. At least no more than Paul Revere's horse was. People are the tools of revolution. And, you know, he's right. But the legend of Revere's ride is exactly why both people and technology can combine to give us the keys to a revolution.
Okay, well, let's move before Facebook, before Twitter. Are there examples of where people and technology have worked together?
Well, how about this one? Let me tell you the story of a group of revolutionaries. They were having problems with the ruling class in their communities, and for the most part, they were isolated from each other. They did not know that they shared a common enemy and that the tactics used against them were being employed against their fellow travelers. Once they came together for the first time, they were able to swap intelligence, and they vowed to use the state-of-the-art communications tools to keep each other informed, to inspire one another, to spread the word among the population. Over time, they were able to deepen the bonds, as Gladwell and Coldway point out are missing in many of the online communities today. You may have heard of them, the Sons of Liberty. They were organizing in a place known as the British American Colonies. They used the postal system across the colonies to spread information. Their communications network of choice became known as the Committees of Correspondence. And over time, they got the word out, as they did lack the speed of today's cell phones and cyberspace, but they did manage to achieve their goal. The result of their work, of course, the United States of America.
So the USPS was the internet or the Twitter of its day.
Indeed it
was. Or perhaps more.
Indeed it was.
Sons of Liberty and Committees of Correspondence?
Yes.
Enlighten me just a bit.
Well, I'm sure folks remember their colonial history, but let us review.
Yes, please.
The Sons of Liberty were a loose group of individuals motivated by wrongs inflicted on them by the British American colonial leadership, mostly taxation and other commerce-oriented regulations. They were, part of the new growing middle class in the colonies. Artisans, lawyers, businessmen. They were not the people, though. They knew they had to broaden the appeal of their resistance to the Crown's policies. So one of the chief ways they did that were through the creation of articles and broadsheets that aroused the interest of the average person toward these taxation issues on events like the Stamp Act and the Tea Act. They became widely famous at the Boston Tea Party. Names you know, Paul Revere once again, Patrick Henry, John Hancock, John Adams, Samuel Adams, not the beer, the revolutionary,
okay.
And Benedict Arnold were among the Sons of Liberty. They shared their columns and letters back and forth to inspire and organize resistance. The Colonial Mail was their backbone.
Their server, if you will.
Indeed. The committees of correspondence begin during the Sons and kind of take over from them and broaden things out even more. Their work absorbed the growing separatist movement in the early and mid-1770s. These groups were instrumental in setting up some of the first face-to-face meetings within the colonies and then between interested groups across the colonies. Every colony had its own committee that then spread out and they linked together over time, so nodes and networks. These were news-oriented letter-writing groups. Again, the goal was getting the word out to like-minded fellows about their local problems. Remember, you've got no mass communications at all at this time. The information that you get about distant lands came almost exclusively from letters written home. Occasionally a traveler might come through, but it was almost always the letter written home. And often those dispatches were reprinted in the local newspaper. The information about distant lands came strictly from letters written home. Every once in a while, a traveler might come through, but it was that colonial post that brought you the news of the distant. Those dispatches were reprinted in local newspaper as fact, when many times they were simply the opinion of the correspondent, or worse, complete fiction or propaganda. Sound a little familiar today with the social media, doesn't it?
I'm just imagining this Facebook post from Paul Revere that it says, "It'll be two lights if they're coming by sea," and John Hancock likes this update.
Yes.
That sort of thing. So you do need both. You need technology, you need a way to spread the word, and you need people to engage in this.
Correct. Where a motivated population exists, they will use whatever technology is available to them to carry their message. If it resonates with the larger population, change results. Look at what radio did to the Ku Klux Klan, effectively destroying it during its second incarnation as serial dramas poked fun and questioned the validity of these secret organizations. What television did for the civil rights movement, showing the snapping dogs and the water cannon of Bull Connor's Birmingham, or for the Vietnam peace movement after Kent State. For that matter, the recent cable news network's coverage of Katrina and how that motivated a nation.
So if George Washington had a Twitter account and a Dodge Charger?
Just like the commercials, he would have routed the British.
And until that alternative reality becomes reality?
We're history.